So folks, we have today an interesting little piece of Matthew's gospel about the life of our Lord. He is in Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon is a Gentile part of the kingdom of Israel. And so there are not a lot of Jews there. And so why he's shocked when a Gentile woman comes up to him is way above my pay scale, but there he is. And what happens is, this Gentile, this woman, who has a daughter, who is, she's possessed. She's got some evil in her. Something's wrong. Comes because she hears that the Messiah is there. So she takes the opportunity, knowing that this Messiah is present in her town, in Tyre and Sidon, and goes to him and begins to shout, the scriptures say. She shouts at him and the disciples. Now our Lord just doesn't pay any attention to her. He just keeps moving along. And his disciples come to him and say, Lord, we've got to get rid of this person. She keeps yelling at us. And our Lord looks at the disciples and says, I have come for the lost of Israel. In other words, he's come for the Jew, not for the Gentile. So he's telling them he's not going to do anything. And then she comes back and says, Lord, won't you help me? And so he looks at this woman and says to her that this food, this banquet that he has come to prepare for people is a banquet for the Jews. And she says in response to that, by the way, he does add a little note of, it's a little rough because he says, and we're not going to serve it to the dogs. Now, I don't know who he was referring to, but it doesn't sound very good to me. But anyway, that's what happened. And she comes back and she says, but even the dogs eat the scraps from the table. Just take care of my daughter. I was thinking about that. Because ultimately and finally, probably because he remembers this great passage of Isaiah. A prophet before him years and years ago, a prophet that said someday, not just yet, but someday, the kingdom of God will be for all people, not just for the Jew, but for everyone. So maybe at this moment, our Lord caught something, remembered something, and changed his mind because he says to her, woman, you're a woman of great faith. Your daughter is healed. And she was healed at that very hour. So I think that we've been all thinking about this whole thing of Robin Williams this week. Such a tragic event to our nation and so many people who love this good man. He seemed like such a, I didn't know him from Adam, but he seemed like a wonderful fella. And to see that, that depression can be such a force in people's lives. And I don't know that we pay attention enough to that. I think it's a pervasive illness in many people's lives. We get cranky at people or we get upset at people or we get angry. But oftentimes what we're really getting angry at is their depressive state. And we don't see it. And I don't think we do enough to try to help people in that great struggle of life. So if anything good comes of that suicide, it strikes me, it's an awareness, a realization again of the disease that can so grip people, can grip our nation and our world. And I suppose that this woman, if she didn't have enough fortitude, enough courage, would probably be the same. She probably would be a depressed person, but she's not. She's forceful and she's determined and she's ready at any minute to take anything he has to say in order for her daughter to be healed. I met a young woman today who was a graduate of our high school last year, Sasha Miller. And Sasha is on her way to Notre Dame University. She is more excited than I've seen any young woman in a long time. She just can't wait to go to the great university of her choice. She and Danielle Partica, another graduate of our high school this year, they're both going to Notre Dame. And she said to me, you know, after the 9:30 today, that last Sunday she bought a bag of donuts from our great sale out here and went across the street to the park and distributed the donuts. But she noticed that the people, the homeless to whom she gave those donuts, were thirsty. They didn't have much water. So this week she decided, before she left, to buy a bunch of these bottled waters, take off the label and attach a good word so that people, when they get this today, and she had a wagon full of these bottles that she was taking across the street to distribute this morning. So I just picked up one and said, I'm going to share this with our people. The one that she has that I got was this: you are not your past. Now there's a good word. You're not your past. Boy, am I glad I'm not my past. You are not your choices. You are you. Love yourself. So I think that in some way is a descriptive of a young girl who's not so interested just in herself and her college and her thing, but is really interested in other people and wants to do something. And that's what I see in this good woman tonight. She has this care and love for her daughter, and she wants to take care of her. And so our Lord then says to her, your great faith has saved you. So your daughter is healed. So I think, my brothers and sisters, we have to be tenacious. I think we do have to recognize when people are in some kind of a depressive state and are not very engaged and kind of fall apart. We've got to watch that. We have to help those folks. And then we have to listen when people ask of us things that are important in their lives and ours. The other part of that gospel that I think is equally important for us tonight is that message that first came from Isaiah and then comes to us in Jesus Christ. And the message is that this is a church for everyone. It started with that Canaanite woman. It was remembered in the words of Jesus at the end of his time before he went to his father, go out and teach all the nations. It is especially taken up in the great message of St. Paul the Apostle, who says that his whole reason, his whole purpose, was to preach the gospel to the Gentile. The reason why you and I are in this church today is because of that shift, that change, because of that Canaanite woman. That's why we're here. We're included in the great message of Jesus Christ. So I would hope that beyond our sensitivity for those who are depressed and down, beyond our own tenacity to do good for other people, is a willingness in our heart to have that kind of space. We all kind of stake our little places in life. It's my pew, you know, and don't you get near it. It's my church. It's my family. It's my whatever we have. And I don't think that's the spirit that's given to us tonight in Isaiah and Matthew. He's suggesting that we have to have a largesse, an openness to all people, even though they don't look like us, even though they don't smell like us, even though they don't act like us, that we have to have an openness to all people. and to be willing to bring that message of Jesus Christ. I am sure that in your own families, your children or your relatives, I'm sure that there are many who have just distanced themselves. They're angry or upset or just unwilling. We've got to be persistent with that and invite them to Christ. Invite them to the Eucharist. Invite them home. We have 5 times the number of people on a Sunday. 5 times that number every Christmas and Easter here at St. Monica. And they're just not here. So I think we have an opportunity to take up that great message of Isaiah, of Jesus, and especially today, the message of our Holy Father Francis. Francis says to us, the gospel of the 99 and the one that's lost. He said, my brothers and my sisters, it's the opposite of that today. He said, the 99 are lost. And we're standing there holding on to this one little sheep. And we're combing it and we're kissing it and we're caressing it. He said, quit being a hairdresser. Be shepherds. Smell like your sheep. I don't know if I smell like you, but that's what he's telling us to do. To be with people. To accept their humanness, their conditions, their struggles, their lives. To be open to that. To be largesse. But especially to be tenacious in our own families, to invite those who are distanced and separated back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's a little final story. And it's true. It's about Gandhi. Gandhi, in his autobiography, tells how during his days in South Africa, as a young Indian lawyer, he read the Gospels one day, and he saw in those teachings of Jesus an answer to the major problem facing the people of India. It was the caste system. So seriously considering embracing the Christian faith, Gandhi went to a white-only church one Sunday morning in South Africa. However, he wanted to talk about how he could take that gospel and translate it for his people. When he entered the church, an usher didn't greet him, but refused to give him a seat and told him to go and to worship with his own colored people. Gandhi said he left that church and he never returned to Christianity. He said, if Christians have caste differences also, I might as well remain a Hindu. So there was a man now who entered or attempted to enter, was refused because of some crazy prejudice. And he changed this world. And so I would just end tonight by that great word that's given to us in that holy gospel that we hear tonight. You are a woman, he says, of great faith. Your daughter will be healed. I hope that our faith, our life of faith, is a creative faith. It's a faith of fire. It's a faith that inspires us to look for ways, not just for ourselves, but especially for those in our families and friends who no longer receive that word. And that we would be that place of hope and blessing and gift to them. And bring that healing once again to those we love.